Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
It's the gods, the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on!
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Talk to you.
Baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dip of dogs.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tony. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of Dem Dam Dare Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. He is not only an architect nor a scientist, but he is an inebriator in which in an era it is awesome to be great. How about that? Never too late to be great. It's DPP.
Never too late to be great. Love it.
I fucked up. I just kind of had him make something up at the end.
You recovered very well because I would have never known.
Yeah. Sometimes we tell on ourselves.
You know.
AJ Balazs out on assignment this week. Chris Platt would probably say something like, he's having his tail removed.
Going.
I had to think of something politically correct, like, you know, something that wouldn't really offend anybody except for people born with tails, and I don't know any of them, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't be offended because they've also had their tail removed.
Jason Alexander in Shallow Hell? That's the only one I could think of.
Would you like to have a tail?
No.
No.
It'd be hard to wear pants. I don't know how you do it. Yeah, everything had to be tailored.
Well, it'd be different.
It'd be a lot of work.
Kangaroos can't walk backwards because of their tail, is what I heard.
Like, why would they fall over?
They just can't go backwards. The tail is there. I don't know why they couldn't just lean forward and kind of tippy-toe like a moonwalk.
Is that why they're angry?
Are kangaroos, are they angry?
I don't know. I've never met one in real life. haven't had a chance to ask. Is there any of them on Twitter that I can message?
I don't. A kangaroo?
Yeah. Ask Mike Tyson. Maybe he knows.
Yeah, well, we did that last week.
Did you? Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the Mike Paul, Jake Tyson? The Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight. Free on Netflix, July, 20th or something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, we got to get the boys together for that one.
Got to watch that. That's going to be a spectacle. fine, I guess. And if you look at Mike Tyson when he shows his training, like, he don't look like he's 50 kind of thing. But is he 50, 60? How old is he? 60. I can't remember.
57. He'll be 58, I believe, the time they fight.
There you go. Jake Paul's statement of, like, hey, you know, I was, you know, my first time fighting, I was on Mike Tyson's undercard fighting Nate Robinson and knocking him out. And now I get a chance to fight the man himself and to see if I'm, you know, if I really am that great or can live up to the, you know, the whatever. And I'm like, fighting a fucking 60-year-old man. Like, I get, like, Tyson was the baddest boxer in the world, but he's 60 years old now. Like, he still looks good, but like, you're still fighting a 60-year-old man. Like, let's tone it down a little bit.
Well, they're making money. They're going to be at Jerry World. I mean, I think they sell the place out easily.
That's crazy.
I said last week they should have this fight be the main event, and they should also have like a UFC title fight and a WWE title match at this event. All three things.
That would be cool if they can start doing that kind of shit. That would be really interesting, you know? Why not? Like,
Netflix would pay a lot of money. You get a lot of exposure for the UFC and for, although I don't know if they want to share the gate with them. You know what I mean? Netflix already gave them the money. They'd probably get some undercard shit. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen, but it'd be cool if they started doing super shows like that.
Would you set up like, you know, so you'd have the three rings or whatever. Like, would you set them up in different spots right. So you have different front rows?
You could do that. You could also pull them up and down out of the sky and rotate them in.
Yeah. Yeah. Put them on a carousel. You rotate them.
up above, maybe. Or, yeah, like, it'd probably be, like, turned like this. You know, it'd be like a triangle.
Yeah.
The one is there, comes down in the middle, turn.
Turn. It'd be interesting. That would kind of be cool to have those on the same show or something, so you could watch a UFC heavyweight fight or something and then turn around and get a WWE title match and whatever. Like, gotta be cool.
Yeah. Sign me up, right?
Right?
Sign me up.
Fuck. I'd watch that.
All right, folks, before we get into it today, we are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't forget to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a t-shirt and head on over to thechairshot.com. We got sports, we got entertainment, and we got sports entertainment. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. DWI 421. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
DP, let's let everybody know what's happening on the 421st edition of the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're
waiting. Well, it's the big show.
For a man out on assignments, it's a birthday sheet cake.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, happy birthday, AJ. See you back next week. Hope you're having a good time. This week, NFL free agency, we're going to touch on a few things there, DP. Some of the major notes. Sasher Banks, Mercedes Moné, the CEO, made her AEW debut in Boston this past Wednesday. Sami Zayn is the one to come out of the gauntlet match, and we'll be facing Gunther. We'll give our thoughts on that. And we're going to run down the list of the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. And we're going to steal a little Bandwagon Nerds. Not that we never did this before Bandwagon Nerds even came around, but a last call on what DP and I have been watching. DPP, ring the bell. All right. Let's get into it. NFL free agency, Packerland. We let Aaron Jones go right after we signed Josh Jacobs. DP, how do you feel about that? Because Aaron Jones turned around and signed with the Vikings. We did get Xavier McKinney from the Giants, who was on the Giants as a free agent. We got him. He's young. He's quick. Safety. And we are keeping A.J. Dillon, I heard, just before we came on the show today. So how do you feel about all that Packer news?
Actually, I was kind of excited about it. We don't often make a lot of like splashy moves in free agency, so it was kind of surprising to see. I was definitely interested in what they were going to do at running back because like we knew both of them weren't going to stay. I figured Dillon was gone. I figured we'd figure out something to keep Aaron Jones. And then when I saw Jones was gone and we got Josh Jacobs, I'm like, that's a pretty good swap. You know, Jacobs is a few years younger and I think just as talented as Aaron Jones is. So I think that's a really good move. You know, I hate to see Aaron Jones go because Aaron Jones is phenomenal. He's been great for us. So I'm definitely not happy about that, but I feel comfortable in what they did to replace him.
Yeah, Jacobs can catch the ball. He's not the pass catcher that Aaron Jones is, though. Like, Aaron Jones was a phenomenal pass catcher. I know they stopped using him on the wheel routes so much, too. So we'll see. It's interesting. This is really turning into exactly what kind of offense LaFleur wants, a bigger back all the time, though. You know, like, Jacobs is a bigger guy, but he does have that motor. I didn't think they would keep A.J. Dillon. It looks like they got him for really cheap. Now, here's the thing. They need to go out and get another third down running back, though. You know, they need another guy that can play, you know, can move him out to the slot and be wide receiver, better catching the ball out of the backfield. Because A.J. Dillon, like, he didn't grow at all last year. He regressed to me, and that's just unfortunate.
He really did. I was really confused last year when I watched him. I'm like, what happened to this guy? Like, because he just did not look like the same, like, aggressive power back he was. Like, he just, or there was just nothing happening. And yeah, I agree. Like, he can't catch the ball, like. A.J. Dillon's not going to be that guy. And I thought Josh Jacobs would be all right with that, but I, you know, maybe he's not as elusive a pass catcher as I thought he was, but maybe he can grow into that, and be that guy. Unless if we have to go get somebody to do that, then fine. But I guess we got plenty of talented receivers to make that work.
Yeah. No, and I'm not saying he can't catch the ball. He's probably above average. I'm just saying Aaron Jones was, like, in my opinion, one of the best three pass-catching running backs in the league. But anyway, I would still rather, like, out of all the guys that you could have picked that were free agent running backs between, like, Barkley and Jacobs and Eckler and Derrick Henry, I would have wanted Jacobs out of all of them just because he can do everything. I don't know where Eckler ended up, if you can effort that real quick while I tell you that Barkley ends up in Philadelphia, so that kind of sucks for the Giants. He got a 3-year deal worth between 37 and 45, depending on incentives. The Baltimore Ravens, Dan, with Derrick Henry. Are you kidding me? Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry back there. I think he got 2 years, $20 million. 4 years, $48 million, I think, was Jacobs, but Eckler was really low. Who did he end up with?
Eckler signed a 2-year, $11.43 million deal with the Commanders.
Ah.
Which is actually a surprising move there.
Well, they traded Sam Howell, right? They traded him to Seattle. So they're taking a quarterback at 2 or 3, whatever, wherever they're at, obviously. But we kind of thought that was going to happen, 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks in the draft. It's interesting, though, because as relates to 1, 2, 3 in the draft, Gardner Minshew goes to Vegas. Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Sam Darnold to Minnesota. But where's Justin Fields going to go if the Bears are taking Caleb Williams number one? Who's out there still that needs a quarterback? Denver's not going to spend that kind of money on him. They don't want to pick up a $20 million fifth year for that team. That's just a waste. They're going to draft a quarterback, too. Yep. He could go to Vegas still, but they have Gardner Minshew. I know they kind of signed him into a backup kind of deal, but he could still start for them while they have a draft a younger quarterback. Who's left for him to go start for? Washington said they're not interested. They're drafting a quarterback. The Patriots? Is it the Patriots? Is that the only team left?
Could be. They didn't. They didn't go get anybody, and they didn't. They trade or let one of their
Mac
guys go.
Jones Mac for Jones. A sixth round pick to the Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah. That's a possibility, I guess. Unless they're going to look at something else. That's surprising that.
I mean, Minnesota could probably do better than Sam Darnold with Justin Fields, but do you see Chicago trading him inside the division?
Not trading him, I don't think. Definitely.
Do they end up
players will go
there?
Do
they end up cutting Justin Fields?
That's not.
Or they're just
not
going to get what they want.
They're not going to get what they want.
Somebody's going to give them they wanted a first round pick. I heard they had a second round offer to them already, which was likely, I don't know, one of these places that already decided to sign a quarterback. But it looks like the Patriots and possibly the Raiders. I don't, if you go up and down the divisions in the league, I don't see who else would want Justin Fields.
There's not a lot of people left. I mean, unless he's going to sit as a backup role, but I don't see him doing that.
Right? Well, he might not have a choice. So a lot of interesting stuff going on in free agency. I know there was some big defensive signings too. I think we're going to end up having a chair shot NFL special before the draft. So look out for that. We'll also recap some free agency there, but any last thoughts on a really cool week of the end in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of movement, which was really exciting.
Calvin Ridley got a big deal down in Jacksonville, which a lot of people didn't think.
Yeah. Just to see some of those big names move and teams making big plays. It didn't seem like there was just so many out there, which was really kind of cool to see. A lot of big guys that moved. Pittsburgh's defense looks like it got better. Baltimore's going to be scary with Derrick Henry as a running back. Holy fuck. Yeah. And surprise, surprise, a Packer went to Minnesota after his tenure in Green Bay. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Patrick Queen going from Baltimore to the linebacking core in Pittsburgh. Big in-division, really good linebacker there. I will just wrap this NFL conversation up by saying old Jarrell was supposed to go all in on free agency, and he ain't signed shit yet. So there you go, Cowboys. Keep up the good work. You owe Zach $60 million. Dak. $60 million this year. Tony Pollard went somewhere else too, I thought.
Yeah, Pollard signed with I just saw it too. Damn it.
Anyway.
Oh, come on, quickly. Where is it? Titans.
Titans. There you go.
He filled Derrick Henry's position.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna move on over to wrestling here.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Dan, Mercedes Moné made her AEW debut in Boston at AEW Big Business, which was basically a Dynamite show in Boston where the lower bowl looked like it might have been full, but they didn't even open up the upper deck. I'm not sure how many tickets they sold or how many people were in attendance. I watched her on YouTube, her thing, and it was okay. The needle didn't move much on TV. Her segment was up, and then the rest of it crashed. And kind of like Okada and everything else, and nothing really makes a big mark there. Do I think she'll sell a few more pay-per-views? Maybe at this next show and the one after, because she'll probably have a match and then fight for the title. I don't know. The numbers that they're saying she signed for are insane. I've heard anywhere from $3 million a year to $10 million a year, and there's an opt out after the second year for her. And I don't know. What do you think about all this?
Oh, great! Isn't this magical?
That's about it. I heard they sold or whatever 8,000 tickets or something like that or whatever. Fine. I don't care. Whatever. I watched her segment as well for entrance, and to me it seemed fine.
What's What does CEO mean? I don't understand.
I don't know, because she makes a lot of money. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess they'll tell us somewhere down the line, because she didn't. The promo she gave was just say, "Hey, I'm here. Thanks, everybody." Listen.
Right. And it was
okay.
It was like she was thrilled to thank the people of Boston and reluctant to thank AEW. Like, she had already figured it out being in the building one night. Oh, I shouldn't have fucking signed here.
Well, I made a huge mistake. Yeah, but if she sees that, there's no fucking way that she's getting paid $10 million a year. All right, there's no way. And if she is, good for her for selling herself to get that money, you know, like, because that's just stupid.
That's the thing. Like, she's getting more than she probably would be getting in WWE right now.
Sure.
Possibly, because Tony's overpaying. But like, and you can't completely dismiss the money either, like her and Edge. But for me, like Edge with her, to me, it just kind of tarnishes their legacy a little bit. To me, as a WWE guy, I mean, I am an overall fan of wrestling, but man, to just be in the WWE your entire career, and you know, I know that one of them is getting old and wasn't getting as used as much as he wanted to, but that's kind of the way that goes, you know. But you're still getting huge storylines, and probably still would have, possibly. And the other one didn't like the way the division was running, so she quit. I don't know what else to tell you. It was cool to see Bayley and Naomi there supporting her. I think Tamina too. And I just hope she comes back sooner than later.
It's a good way to put it. Because, yeah, like, I think, you know, they go there because you're getting more money, obviously. They're driving a dump truck full of money.
Easier schedule, travel-wise, for sure.
Yep. And then, you know, you have a little more, I'm guessing, creative control to a sense. But, like, I think that's a lot of big part of their downfall right now. Anyway, AEW, is there's nobody in control. There's nobody really doing a good job running these shows. And it's clearly showing. And despite the fact that you're getting these big free agent names, and WWE isn't signing big free agents because they're terrible. You know, they don't know how to see talent. Well, they're also smart, and they also know how to produce talent. And they made that talent that you're fucking showing off on your television show and watching them fail miserably because they're terrible, because there's nothing to get you guys are doing storyline-wise to make it interesting. And like guys like, I'm sure Edge and Christian are probably having a lot of fun themselves, you know, doing what they're doing, so good for them. But to me, it's like, ugh, like, this is not good. And, you know, you look at Edge and go, yeah, you should have stayed, buddy. Like, yeah. So I just waiting for, you know, give it 4 months and see, you know, when she's just doing shit and not anywhere in a good storyline and not anywhere on the main title picture roster.
Then there, just be, there's
oh,
people
yeah, remember
there,
when she was great?
There's people there for her to work with. I mean, when Jamie Hayter comes back, you know, you got Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Saraya's there. I mean, there's people for her to work with. It's just, like you said, do you believe in the stories that they can tell?
Yeah. And that's it. I don't mean to, like, knock the talent of the wrestlers, because they're great wrestlers. They're definitely that, but it's just the rest of that's not there, and it doesn't make it enticing to watch. Like, I watch a wrestling match, absolutely, but I have no investment into, like, wanting to keep watching. So I'm not gonna sit there for a 2-hour show.
Yeah, I've tried, and it just never, it's just there's nothing really on Wednesday night either, like. Anyway, let's keep moving. WWE, probably the biggest thing that's happened in the last week is the fact that Sami Zayn wins the gauntlet match to take on Gunther at WrestleMania. If you listened last week, I tried to tell everybody Chad Gable would start at the beginning and win every single match and would end up being the guy who takes down Gunther. And that's a way that you can use that gauntlet match to really get people invested and behind him and carry that momentum. Apparently Booker T said, or Sami Zayn said to Booker T or something about those two, there's some kind of dirt sheet thing that says Sami Zayn was frustrated that he didn't get as big of a response as he wanted, and people weren't thrilled about it. I'm not thrilled about Sami Zayn being the one to take on Gunther at Mania. I don't want him to win now. I want somebody that Sami Zayn doesn't need to beat Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Yes, I think that's, if there is any kind of backlash that he's seeing, that's probably why, because, you know, we kind of thought, you know, at the time there, you know, was Brock Lesnar going to wrestle him at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Were we going to get like a guy like Bron Breakker or somebody, like, we need somebody, or, you know, if it's not Lesnar, like, we need somebody fresh, somebody like that who can come take him down and make it a big, kind of a big deal or whatever. And I think now all of a sudden it went to like, it kind of felt like, oh, we have nothing for our Intercontinental Champion who's been champion for 700 days. We're just going to put a gauntlet match together, and one of these guys can wrestle him. And it was like, oh, okay, kind of great. That's interesting. And Sami Zayn is definitely a worthy matchup because, like, but they're, it's past its time, I feel like. Maybe that's the way to say it. Like, Sami Zayn isn't as hot as he was with the Bloodline story that was going. And, you know, that's not, I don't think, what people want right now. Like, they could have done that earlier, and maybe it would have been a big thing, but now it's like, he's cooled off, he's still popular, but, like, that's not what they wanted with Gunther, I think. They wanted something bigger, and this doesn't feel like it at this point. You know, we didn't get, you know, if it was LA Knight or whoever, we wanted somebody like that, I think, in this matchup, and now we're just getting Sami Zayn, which generally wouldn't be bad, but like you said, like, we didn't want that.
No, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense to us right now. Hopefully it will. But I don't like Sami winning this time. We'll see. We got to let them do their job, right?
Doesn't mean he's going to win.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Still got 2 or 3 weeks before the show. I don't know.
Yeah, what is now after they said they're gonna do this? And so what, they're also having aren't they doing a big tag match thing now to determine the number one contender there? What did you, do you remember what that is? I know they announced that, I think, Monday as well.
They're both, gonna have, yeah, I think they're
managers having, together.
They're having qualifying matches to have, I think it's whatever, like tag team ladder match for the titles. They're going to have SmackDown teams and Raw teams.
That's right. They're putting them in a tag team ladder match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Okay.
So they're not going to win.
So
that's your
done.
Get everybody on the show match, basically, now.
I'm okay with that. They could have done that with Gunther, too.
Right? Make it a six-man ladder match, like a Money in the Bank type of thing. I'm gonna enjoy that tag team match a lot more than I would have the Andre the Memorial Giant Battle Rumble.
Well, now there's talk of like Meaty Mania. Bronson Reed's calling for Big E to have the Big Meaty Classic.
Please, let's not. AEW just tried to use that stuff. Nope. Didn't they do that? Did they just do that? We're not. No,
I don't think so.
I swear I thought I saw that, some meat.
Big meat slapping meat.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm having a fever dream where I'm combining both things.
Were you having the meat sweats?
I probably was.
All right, so we're all in agreement. Sami Zayn, we love you, but not in this way. We just don't want this for you. It's too bad, so sad. Move along. All right, we're going to take another quick commercial break here. DWI 421 right here, Chairshot Radio Network on all of your streaming platforms. When we come back, we're going to get into the WWE Class of 2024 Hall of Fame.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 421, greatest tag team never here with you. AJ Balazs out on assignment. And happy birthday, my friend. Hopefully you get lucky tonight.
I mean, in Utah? I don't know.
He is the, what is he, the Mormon foreman?
I don't know what you got. I don't know what the moniker you guys are giving him.
The Utah cockslinger? These are all Platt. Platt comes back for like two shows and is, you know, or just you keep using that forever. All right, let's get into it. WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2024, DP. We got the two-time tag team champions, the U.S. Express, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham. Bull Nakano, former WWE Women's Champion, also turned professional golfer. A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Muhammad Ali. Known for his refereeing of wrestling matches exclusively, nothing else ever in the history of the world. No, that's not true. Yet, did he have something to do with the squared circle as well?
No, I think he lit a torch at the Olympics once. I think that was the other thing.
Okay, all right. Thunderbolt Patterson, former NWA Florida heavyweight champion, NWA Georgia tag team champion a couple times. Numerous brass knuckles championships for Thunderbolt Patterson as well. And the marquee Hall of Fame inductee this year, the legend, one of the two greatest managers in the history of professional wrestling, Paul Heyman, DP. Quite the accomplished class here.
it's a like kind of a different class almost. Like it just seems that they're stars in different eras of different styles of wrestling, I think. Like I don't know how to put it. Like by Bull Nakano, I remember honestly. I remember for one match that she had with Alundra Blaze. I don't remember if it was WrestleMania or not, but or a SummerSlam, but they had a killer match. I remember that one. That was a really fun match to watch. US Express, I don't know that well. That was a little bit before my time, but two phenomenal wrestlers there together. That's for sure.
Yeah. The U.S. Express beat the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff in June of 85. Lost to Brutus and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Dream team.
And then, yep. But their first win was in January of 85 when they beat Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch, the North-South Connection. Which then they would lose to the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff. So, yeah, they had the belts, not for a long time, but twice back in 85.
Okay. But, two phenomenal wrestlers. I know them individually from, you know, different sides of things with Windham on WCW and particularly with Four Horsemen and obviously Rotunda in his WWE, later WWE days as IRS.
Sure.
Hanging out with DiBiase, he's pretty fantastic wrestler, and obviously we know his family legacies as well between the two. Some fantastic wrestlers that can't come out of that family. Muhammad Ali's awesome. I kind of actually was surprised that I guess he never was inducted into the Hall of Fame yet. It seems like that one's kind of long overdue for his accomplishments in a squared circle, as he said. and for his
yeah, you like that.
And for his participation in the first WrestleMania, which, yeah, he's just phenomenal all around.
Muhammad Ali actually did a lot of wrestling matches. He was a huge fan. Like, he did wrestling matches with wrestlers. He did a lot of that stuff.
That.
Yeah, he was huge. He was huge into it.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton about Thunderbolt Patterson. I did look up some of his accomplishments. But very big in the South back in the territory days.
Okay.
Legit tough guy from what I've read, and having these brass knuckle championships, etc.
Well, considering he was wrestling in the 70s, and he was 6 foot 242, like that's a pretty big boy in those days. I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm sure he was ridiculously intimidating for sure.
Paul Heyman, do you think he's the greatest manager of all time, or do you have Bobby Heenan up there? I mean, because I don't think there's many people that would argue those guys in whatever order are one and two.
It's hard for me. It's really hard to pick those. Yeah, I'd say I think they both have a specific style that could argue them the best over each other, because I think Paul Heyman, I think in general, was better on the mic. Being able to sell you on why this is a phenomenal match that you need to watch. Bobby Heenan was great at annoying the shit out of you on the mic, but he was great at getting involved and in the match and getting heat that way, which was, where he was, better than Heyman at that side. So I think both of them were great at everything, and one had a little bit better of those two different sides. Man, I think I'd take Heyman. It's tough, man. I grew up with Bobby. Love fucking Bobby. And I actually just watched, when I saw Paul Heyman got inducted, I rewatched Bobby Heenan's induction speech, because that was just a phenomenal induction speech. I would take Heyman over him as a manager. But if they had to be on the mic and do commentary, Heenan is just phenomenal at that. And probably is better than him at that part. But I think I'd have to pick Heyman as the better manager for going manager.
Okay.
It's tough. It's
all right.
Really tough.
It is. Who should induct Paul Heyman? I think Steve should do it. I don't think Punk should do it, even though that's a front runner for it. There's been talks of bringing Dreamer in to do it. And well, it's not going to be Lesnar.
I feel like that's almost who it should be, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So when I saw Steve's name, I'm like, yeah, Steve would make sense, I think, out of that group, more than Punk, unless you're going to bring back some of the ECW originals or something and bring in the Dudleys and Dreamer and Sandman or something and have a can full of them kind of get
you
up
should
there.
Bring back as many you should bring back as many Paul Heyman guys as you can, and they'll just all come out, and one at a time they'll walk up to the podium and say, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. I'm a Paul Heyman guy. Go stand in the back of a line. I'm a Paul Heyman guy. Stands in the back of a line. And on and on and on. And then finally the glass breaks. Even after maybe Punk comes out and goes back to stand in line, and the glass breaks and Steve comes out and says, I'm a Paul Heyman guy, and he does the induction. That'd be really cool.
That's a really cool way to do it. That would be awesome. Have a big group, as many guys as you could.
That'd and they be kind all of a stand cool thing. Behind him while he does, while he does the induction, and then they all hug him, and then they all go back, and Paul does his thing.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. That would be fucking awesome.
Because even I think Undertaker was part of the Dangerous Alliance, so he could even come out. Anybody that he managed or like. Was, ECW his big stars, those are all his guys.
Anybody he was integral in developing, or managing or had a hand in with helping, get their character over, would be awesome to have show up.
How do you get outside of the bloodline for this, though? Like, what I'm saying? Like, he's still got to have his tribal chief. Is Roman a part of this? Like, do you not get any of those guys back and you have Roman inducts him? Is that a possibility?
I think Roman comes out and tells everybody to get the hell out of here. He's my counsel.
Yeah, right. Something like that. You know, I don't know. I like what I suggested with, you know, you completely get outside of the storyline. You keep Roman and the bloodline away from it because it's something that's actually going on. You know, he can be standing on the side and clapping for him and you get a shot of him. But I don't know. You tell me.
I feel like to honor him or whatever, you have to get away from it. But I think he would be all for doing it to build more of the storyline, because what would get more heat in Philadelphia than, you know, the bloodline not letting Paul Heyman do his Hall of Fame induction speech and taking over the show? I think that would be phenomenal.
Well, either way, I think we're in for a really good Hall of Fame ceremony. Just some iconic entries this year. Really looking forward to it. So, all right, that's what we got this week. We do have a last call for you guys, but before we get into that, I just want to remind you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. You can get it in soft style. Feels great when you put it on. It's the gift that keeps on giving, because every time you put it on, it gives you a hug. Makes a great gift for others as well. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You're already listening to Chair Shot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. And don't forget about thechairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We got you covered. Always use your head. Right now, you're listening to DWI 421. Happy birthday, AJ Balazs. PC Tunney and DP here with you. I think it's time for Last Call.
What do I mean?
It's Last Call. And today, for those of you that don't listen to Bandwagon Nerds, DP are going to run down a few of the things that we've been watching, because we've been really consuming a lot of things. Some of these you may have heard us talk about on that show. Some of these you may have not. You want to just go back and forth? I got like three.
Well, you start, because I got two.
Okay, perfect. The first thing is Kill Tony. It's on YouTube. It's comedian Tony Hinchcliffe and his Ed McMahon, if you will, Red Band. They're up on stage. They bring out other comedians. They pull comedians out of a hat that have never done comedy before. They do a minute. They interview, make fun of these people. It's old school comedy. He has guests such as Bert Kreischer, Shane Gillis, Whitney Cummings, Dave Attell, Jeff Ross, Mark Norman, et cetera, et cetera. He's got all the best comedians on. It's a super entertaining, fun show. Check it out on YouTube. I highly, highly recommend it. I was explaining it to DP before the show. He's never watched it before. How likely are you to watch this, DP?
Well, it works out very well, honestly, because I'm going on a work trip and I need something to watch. And that sounds like a shitload of fun, just watching some amateurs or some just random people go up and do a minute or two of stand-up and try their hand in it and try to, I'm guessing, realize just how hard it really is to do, and then also have all these other like really great comedians that, you know, just cracking jokes. Like I'm all in for that. We're watching that kind of shit, because that's just fun to watch those guys just sit around and goof off.
Nice. Well, you have to let me know what you think. The hell have you been watching?
So apparently we can't get away from the Hulu app, so we watched Poor Things, which was obviously one of the Oscar picks.
We as in?
The Dillinator and I.
There you go. Okay.
Sorry. We watched.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. We watched Poor Things. That was 100% not what I was expecting. If you haven't watched it. And yet,
very, very, very Eyes Wide Shut, and, right? You compared it to.
Yeah. Oh, did I talk about this one on Bad Wingers? Damn it.
Yeah, that's okay.
I forgot. Yeah. Very, if you're a fan of Emma Stone, and I mean a fan of Emma Stone, it's worth a watch. It's definitely, I asked Brother Joe as well, I'm like, I watched Poor Things, you know, and he's like, I watched like 10 minutes of it, maybe. He's like, and I couldn't understand what the hell was going on, so I turned it off, and I like opened my eyes at him. I'm like, you turned it off at the wrong time, brother. Because it definitely starts off like really weird, but like once I understood what was going on, and the Tillinator had to explain it to me a little bit, you know, of like watching an evolution of someone kind of thing. The cinematography, everything made a lot more sense. So it's definitely interesting if you're a fan of Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo. I thought they did a really great job. So it's definitely an interesting watch for sure. So
it did win some Oscars. Mm-hmm.
Definitely
did Emma Stone win actress, I think, or no?
Shit, I should have. I think so. Yeah, she won. She won the best actress for that. And then they won one for, I don't know if it was set design or some kind of cinematography or something, because it was...
I think it was cinematography, yeah.
I haven't and seen the other shows yet.
Something but, as well.
Yeah, definitely I could understand why, because there was some beautiful backgrounds and everything was done so well in that movie. That I could definitely see why it won that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was four they took home, and you're right. Set design and set, I think it was cinematography, set design, costumes, and Emma Stone. I think those were the four. If I'm wrong, just deal with it.
That attitude egg.
Sure. Fuck that guy. He was mad because you weren't on last week and I didn't have the best friend soundbite.
Oh, no. Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah, that's a DP one. Yeah, poor guy. He got over it.
It's going to be, yeah.
Speaking of wrestling, John Cena, brand new Amazon Prime movie, Ricky Stenicki, Zac Efron, William H. Macy, Andrew Santino, just a hilarious movie. I would suggest anybody that's looking for a light, fun movie to watch, it's definitely a hard R rated. I wouldn't watch it with kids. My only criticism is it didn't need to be an hour and 50 minutes. It could have been an hour and 35, but that's fine. It's fun. It's got a lot of good jokes. It's light. I would recommend it for anybody. And if you have Amazon, it's free. So there you go. Ricky Stenicki starring John Cena, who also made a big appearance at the Oscars, damn near naked. He was wearing a nude colored banana hammock.
A nude suit.
What I see behind the scenes. But yeah, that guy's making waves in Hollywood.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Yeah. Comes out like that, all awkward, and for the cost, was it for costumes or whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he didn't, like, he's been in his underwear in front of, like, 100,000 people before, so, you know, I'm sure out of any, you know, he probably felt more comfortable than the people that were watching it live were in the state, in the theater.
I heard that's why he wore jorts, though, for his wrestling career. He wore jorts because he was like, otherwise I'm just sitting there in my underwear. Who wants to fucking do that?
There you go.
That's awesome.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel did make fun of him for wearing, he's like, I'm usually wearing jorts. He goes, what are jorts? He told him, and he goes, well, this is an improvement. Or something like that. But it was a good interaction. Check that out on YouTube as well if you didn't see John Cena's Oscars appearance. What else you watching, DP?
So the other thing I've been watching, obviously with the Dillinator as well, is another show on Hulu because we can't get away right now. It's called Death and Other Details. I don't know if you'd recognize any of the cast at this point that I can think of, other than Mandy Patinkin, who's the main, like, sleuth. You know, you might know him as Inigo Montoya. He killed your father, prepare to die.
Yeah, yeah. I have 5 fingers. I don't have 6 fingers. I'm good.
Oh, you're safe.
Safe. Yeah, the old switcheroo, huh?
Inconceivable. It's very interesting. It's huge up my alley. It's really like Clue on a yacht, more or less. You know, a member on one of the people on the boat looks like they got murdered, and Mandy Patinkin plays basically the main sleuth that is trying to solve this murder that happened. And basically going through interviewing different people, and everybody has their own story, side stories going on. And this supposedly all ties back to who the main female in this story, played by Violet Bean. Her mother was killed in a car accident, like the car explosion, basically, like 20 years earlier. And Mandy Patinkin came in to try and solve what happened. and then supposedly just like walked away from it because he couldn't figure it out. And now they're tied back together in this story of a murder on a ship. And somehow it all ties together somehow, we're trying to figure out. So it's a whole huge, you know, whodunit with all the sorts of different side stories going on, which all look like they tie together in some sense. But it's like my favorite type of movie to watch or whatever, because, you know, it makes me feel like almost like a Knives Out, you know, same type of thing. I was really hoping, what's his name, LeBlanc, the character from Knives Out would show up, like when they were bringing in Interpol. I'm like, I hope it's him. Like, that would be hilarious if he came walking onto this boat. But it's like right up that alley. So, I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, you like Clue, you like Knives Out, the whole whodunit thing, this has been fantastic so far. I think we've got through 3 episodes, and there's 10 episodes, about 50 minutes each.
And if you're trying to remember what streaming service the show Dan is watching is on, it's always Hulu. So if he mentioned it, it's Hulu.
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 That's it. You don't need to go anywhere else. Shit, you can even watch it on Disney Plus now because they have a Hulu option on Disney Plus. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. So you and the Dillinator recently binge-watched some kind of Gordon Ramsay thing. Which one was it?
we went through MasterChef. That was our first one we've gone
have
through.
Either of you watched Next Level Chef?
Not yet.
So I've been watching Next Level Chef. I'll tell you when it's over. I know you like to binge them. So for those who don't know and are looking for a different type of cooking show, this one is a little bit different. It's Nyasha Arrington, Richard Blaze, and Gordon Ramsay. And through tryouts and cook-offs, they end up with 15 people, and they go through a draft, and they each get 5 cooks, right? Some of them are social media, some of them are home, some of them are professional chefs. So they've split into these teams, but they have 3 different kitchens: the basement, the mid-level, and the penthouse. And in the basement, you have like broken ovens and dented pots and pans and twisted graters and just not great stuff, right? And in the mid-level, it's like a regular industry service kitchen, everything you need. And then on the top, it's like all the extra special stuff, okay? So not only are you in these different kitchens and have different things to cook with for each team, but in the center of these kitchens is a platform that rides down on like a fire pole, right? It goes up and down, and it's this giant platform of food. Now, you have like 12 seconds it sits, 10 seconds it sits on your level to grab. And obviously the penthouse picks first, the middle picks next, and the basement gets what's left. So you get progressively worse, or sometimes something drops to the bottom. So what happens is, whichever floor has the best dish, they're all safe. So say the middle floor here had the best dish, they're all safe. No one has to go into a cook-off. They also, since they had the best dish, next episode they get to cook on the penthouse. This would be the same if you were in the penthouse, you'd stay there. If you're in the basement, you go up to the penthouse. Now, the other two teams, their leader, say Ramsay's team and Blaze's team, both lost. Arrington's team was the winner. They have to decide who cooked the worst dish to go into the cook-off, and then those two people, one from each team, go into a final cook-off. They have so much time. The loser goes home. That team's in the basement. The team that won the cook-off is in the middle, and you keep going on and on. So it's a really cool, interesting show, the dynamic of it, and the fact that you have this moving platform of food, and you only have so much time, and you're on a team, but you're not. So it's a really fun thing. And they actually show it to you as if you're looking at the basement. You can see pulled back, you know, watching it, you can see all 3 tiers at once.
Nice. It looks like there's 3 seasons of it, so I mean, obviously, we can start watching it right now.
Start with the first. Yes, you can.
By the time we're caught up, you know, season 3 will be over. So, yeah, I've definitely seen the ads for it and stuff, and it looked very interesting. I'm glad you explained it, because I obviously didn't know how it worked, but I like that. I figured, you know, yeah, the basement basically gets the scraps of what's left, so that's kind of cool. And you know, you got to work your, you know, you just got to do what you got to do with whatever stuff you get. So that's definitely a different concept than MasterChef, and it gives you a different element and different way to cook things. Yep.
It can be a curse and a blessing, both of them, right? Like, if you're on the penthouse, you're expected, like, there's no excuses, right? But if you're on the if you're in the basement and you come up with something amazing, it's extra amazing because of what you had to deal with, you know, to get there.
You're making it with shit, and you're making it, you know, making it with sticks and a freaking, you know, whatever. Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Maybe that'll be the next one for us.
There you go. You're welcome. All right, folks, I want you to continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network. Monday, you got Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesday, you either got the Big Four or Hockey Talk. Wednesday's the Greg DeMarco Show. Thursdays, you got Talking the Cake or the Pick and Roll Podcast, which is here likely through the end of the tournament. Sorry, we both had to watch our teams last week. We missed a week. But, you know, we always got the DWI Podcast Friday mornings, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast Saturday mornings, and Down the Wire every Sunday. DP, let everybody know where they can find you before we get the funk out of Dodge.
You can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs. That it's me, DPP. And you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on the X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast. And, you know, I guess I should announce, I should say too, that you can listen to me on Bandwagon Nerds once again. Back in a regular full-time position. Of course, I'm saying this now when I'm going to miss one week.
And you won't be here next week either.
So there you go. But, you know, on the regular. And you should listen to it anyway, goddammit, because it's fun.
There you go. There you go. Follow me at PC Tony. And like I said, Chairshot Radio Network, all of your favorite streaming platforms. We appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you next week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.